my Lord is great and good, and he will hear my cry. O thou fount of every blessing, tune my lips to sing thy praise. Being able to gather together for worship is a beautiful thing. We're all here together to worship God together, to be edified together, to learn more about the Word of God together. And these are all aspects of us being gathered here together each week. When we think about that word worship, what comes to mind? The word itself means to prostrate oneself in homage, to kiss the hand in reverence. We're here today humbly gathering together to give God the glory for what he has done for us, to give him reverence for who he is as our Creator and Savior. And I think about one of the songs we sang this morning. On bended knee, I come. We come humbly before God, but we still have a means to praise him, recognizing his great power, recognizing the great deeds that he has done. And so among these different elements in our gathering together that make up what we know as worship, we recognize one of the things that stands out are the songs that we sing. The time that we take to offer up praise to God in song. We sing several songs in these services that are meant to reflect our praise to God. Songs of praises I will ever give to thee. We sing songs that recognize how great God is. Songs that remind us of the sacrifice of Jesus that he endured for us. Songs that talk about our real life struggles and our reliance on the Lord, reminding us that the Lord is with us in all of our struggles. We sing songs that remind us of our ability to go to God in prayer. We sing songs that remind us of and get us excited for heaven, the thing we all long for in this life. And it's important to know why we sing these songs. It's important to remember that there is power behind these songs. Each time we sing these songs, they're meant to be testaments. Testaments to our faith in God. Testaments to our love towards him. So let's be reminded today of the power of song. If you're in your Bible, Ephesians chapter 5, verse 19, we'll begin by looking at this verse and a sister passage to it. These two verses serving as important verses we turn to that tell us what we need to know about the songs we sing. In Ephesians chapter 5 and in verse 19, Paul writes to the Ephesians saying, speaking to one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord. And then again, when he writes to the Colossians, he speaks a very similar phrase in Colossians chapter 3 and in verse 16. Colossians chapter 3 and verse 16. Let the word of Christ dwell within you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. These two verses are important for the fact that they tell us how we are to sing praises to the Lord. They tell us what to sing to the Lord, and that we are to make melody with our hearts to the Lord. That when we offer up praises to God in the form of songs, we're not just doing it as a show. We're really meaning it. And in these verses, both of these verses, Paul describes psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs. Each of these may sound the same on the surface, but there are slight variations between these words. And when all united describes, we see one word that describes each of them. First, we see the word psalm, which is described as a set piece of music, a sacred ode, striking, plucking, or twanging. The psalms are mainly associated with the works of David. He wrote many of the psalms that we read within the book of Psalms, and he wrote these psalms to be both sung and played with the harp, because David played the harp. And the beauty of the book of Psalms is that range between different emotions, different situations in life, but all point back to God in either praise or prayer or reliance or seeking after him. A hymn that is described as a religious ode or a sacred song, a song that is used to celebrate or offer praise to gods, heroes, and conquerors. Hymns are meant to celebrate our God. Our song books are called the hymns for worship. These songs were put together in order for us to come together and sing hymns, celebrating our God, celebrating who he is, celebrating the fact that we have such a great and powerful God and who has given us so much. We recognize he is more than worthy to be celebrated and praised. Spiritual songs, that makes up two words. The word song itself is described as a chant or an ode. Words sung, religious metrical composition. Nothing too out of the ordinary from what we've already seen in the other words. However, the word spiritual must be noted as important because these aren't just any songs that we're singing. These are spiritual songs. Spiritual is described as being non-carnal, relating to the human spirit or rational soul as part of the man which is akin to God and serves as his instrument or organ. Is God happy with us just singing any song? No, we recognize that he wants us to sing spiritual songs, songs about him, songs about our walk with him, songs about our faith in him and our love for him. But the word that unites all of these together is ode. Each of these words, the word ode is used to describe these songs. And the word ode itself means words sung or lyric poem. What drives our songs of praise to God is our words. Our words are what do the praising, which we'll talk more about in a minute. But all in all, we can confirm from Scripture, we praise God in song. We praise God by lifting up our words of adoration to him. We lift up words of thanksgiving to him. We lift up words of praise to him. But are words enough? We'll consider that in just a moment. But we recognize why we sing in Scripture. And there are two reasons given, a primary reason and a secondary reason. Primary, of course, is to worship God. As we've alluded to previously, the whole point, the primary reason to worship God, to praise God, to make sure that he is receiving the glory from us wholeheartedly. All of our songs are meant for the sake of paying homage to him, of being reverent toward him, of recognizing his greatness as our God. The Hebrew writer tells us in Hebrews chapter 13 and verse 15, therefore, by him, let us continually offer the sacrifice of praise to God, that is, the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to his name. This is our offering to God when we sing. The sacrifice to God is found in the words of the songs that we sing. And we're told that we need to continually offer these sacrifices to him, continually praising God, continually thanking him, continually mindful of his presence in our walk of life, continually mindful and praising all that God has done, because he has done so much for us. Of course, we can always point out the fact that he saved us through the blood of his son, Jesus Christ. But look in your own life. Look in your life and see when you see that God was present in a certain moment. Maybe an accident that happened, but God kept you safe. Maybe an anxious spell. Maybe an overwhelming time in your life, and God brought you through. Those are reasons to praise God. Those are reasons we have to worship him. And when we gather together, we sing praises as a whole. We are joined all together in song together. The unison of voices lifted up to praise God. And that's beautiful. The Hebrew writer would also write in chapter 2 and in verse 12, quoting a passage of Scripture. And it really shows us the attitude that we ought to have when we come together for worship. It says, "I will declare your name to my brethren. In the midst of the assembly, I will sing praise to you." This is the assembly, brethren. We are the assembly of the saints, having come together as one body under Christ Jesus. And as the assembly, we offer up our songs of praise as a group. And we'll see another reason why that's important in a minute. But we recognize that us being together, singing these songs of praise together as one, is an amazing offering to God and a sweet-smelling aroma to Him. And we also recognize the level of understanding that we are to have when we sing these songs of praise. Paul would write in 1 Corinthians chapter 14 and verse 15. What is the conclusion then? I will pray with the Spirit, and I will also pray with the understanding. I will sing with the Spirit, and I will also sing with the understanding. As we offer our worship to God, two very important aspects are seen here. The Spirit and the understanding. The Spirit we'll talk about in just a minute, but the understanding here. Our songs are not meant to be carnal or sung with carnality in mind, but with spiritual matters in mind. We also see that we must have understanding of what we're singing when we sing it, making sure that we know what we're singing, that these words resonate within us, that these words we mean when we sing to God. We're meant to recognize why we're singing and what we mean by what we're singing. Second reason that we see in the two passages that we started off with in Ephesians 5:19 and Colossians 3:16. Namely, Colossians 3:16 tells us that we are to teach and admonish one another with these songs. These same songs that we use for worship are also made for the sake of teaching and admonishing one another. This is another reason why we sing in the assembly. And why it's important for us to sing in the assembly. Because these songs are built to teach and admonish. How do they teach and admonish? Well, these songs oftentimes relate to what we see in the Scripture. They can enhance our studies. These songs on their own also teach us how much love we should have for God. They also teach us to continually praise Him and pray to Him. They teach us that there are others who have gone through some of the same things we're going through. When you look in your psalm books, you'll see the names of those who wrote these songs. Some of those people went through some things. It is well with my soul. I can't remember off the top of my head the full story. But I do remember the writer of that song. His whole family passed away. Him alone living. And that song came about because of that. So we recognize that these songs mean a lot to us personally. And they teach us how to help us in our day-to-day life. The song we just sang, King Most High. Does that remind anyone of this morning's topic? Priest forever, on His throne, my God and King Most High. Again, they're meant to enhance our study. They're meant to enhance the teachings within the Scripture. These songs, they're meant to emotionally provoke us and will admonish us to improve our walk with God. With all this in mind, let's consider how we sing. First, we don't just sing with our lips. Jesus told the scribes and the Pharisees in Matthew chapter 15, verses 7 through 9. He calls them hypocrites, verse 7. Hypocrites. Well did Isaiah prophesy about you, saying, these people draw near to me with their mouth and honor me with their lips, but their heart is far from me, and in vain they worship me, teaching as doctrines the commandments of men. This calls us to examine ourselves and make sure that we are meaning what we're singing, that we're truly meaning the words of praise that we sing to God, making sure our praise comes from within and not just from our lips, not just to blend in with the assembly. If we are worshiping, we must mean it. Think about the verses we read earlier. In spirit, I will sing to you. In understanding, I will sing to you. Make melody in your heart to the Lord. Singing must include our hearts. Again, just as Jesus had said, their hearts were far from him. Paul said in both passages that we began with that these songs must be from our hearts to God. Again, these songs are meant to resonate with us on an emotional level, on a spiritual level, provoke us to bring out the best of us for God. Our hearts must draw near to God as we come to worship him. Our hearts must be brought before him so that he can see our hearts, so that he can see our love for him, our desire to praise him, our reverence towards him. Furthermore, along with our hearts, we must worship him in spirit and in truth. Jesus told the Samaritan woman in John chapter 4, verse 21 through 24. Jesus said to her, "Woman, believe me, the hour is coming when you will neither on this mountain nor in Jerusalem worship the Father. You worship what you do not know. We know what we worship, for salvation is of the Jews. But the hour is coming, and now is, when the true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and in truth. For the Father is seeking such to worship him. God is spirit, and those who worship him must worship in spirit and in truth." Worship must come from our inmost being. Our spirit needs to be the primary thing that is worshiping God, because he's spirit. Yes, we worship with our lips. Yes, we worship with the words that we say, but they come from the heart. They come from the spirit. They come from my emotional being, my eternal being, longing after God, longing to praise God, wanting to give him the glory for all that he has done for me and for everyone on this planet. He knows when we're being truthful in worship. And simply put, our worship must be wholehearted. Our worship must be full of spirit. Anyone can get away with the singing of the lips, but we are to have the understanding, the depth of what we sing. Do the themes of the songs resonate within our souls or with our walks with God? Do we understand the depth of what we sing when we sing it? Our spirit must be involved. We must make sure that we are worshiping him the right way, not just with our lips, but with our hearts, with our spirits. And one thing that singing does not include is instrumental worship. Instrumental worship was practiced under the old law. As we mentioned previously, David played the harp. But also in his writings, he encouraged those who heard his psalms to play with instruments as praise to God. And while this may have been okay under the Old Testament, we recognize we are not under the Old Testament, that the old law has been done away with. Just as we saw this morning in Hebrews chapter 7 and verse 18, that the old law was annulled in the death of Jesus. For on the one hand, there is an annulling of the former commandment because of its weakness and unprofitableness. While we consider that command this morning, we also recognize that it's the entire old law being done away with. The entirety of the old law done away with. and the authority to use instrumental music, done away with. No command is given in the New Testament permitting instrumental worship. The only commands we're given is to sing. The only mentions of instrumental music are in Revelation and not in the context of us worshiping God on earth. We do not have the authority under the New Testament to use instruments in worship. That is why when we gather together, you will not see a guitar or a drum set or a piano or organ. You will hear brethren lifting up their voices in unison to praise God together. Remember that word ode that we discussed earlier that described each of those words in Paul's writings? Again, that word means words sung or lyric poem. It's all about the words. It's all about the words we say and the words we mean within our heart and with our spirits. And again, remember how we described the word spiritual earlier. It is described as being non-carnal, relating to the human spirit, rational soul, as part of the man which is akin to God, our immortal form, our soul, our spirit, our heart within the worship. It also says it serves as his instrument and organ. Brethren, we are the instruments of God. God has no interest in hearing man-made instruments. He wants to hear his instruments. That's us, brethren. Bottom line is, this study is meant to show us the importance of the songs that we sing, the importance of the power of song, how we are to properly praise the Lord our God. We are all gathered here to worship our Lord with our words, with our songs of praise, and most importantly, with our hearts and with our spirits. Our flesh and our spirit uniting together so that all of us are given to God in worship, that our entire being is involved with the worship, that when we come here, I am offering all to God as I sing the songs of praise, as we sing songs of praise together. We are in unison here to bring reverence to God, to offer up the fruit of our lips, to worship in spirit and in truth. That is what he wants of us. Again, we are his instruments. He wants to hear us. So let us lift up our voices. Let us praise him wholeheartedly, full of spirit, every day of our lives. Let us make sure that our minds and our hearts are open to true worship, not lip service, not conforming to worldly ways, but being true to God in our worship. And that's not just here, brother. When you walk out there in the world and that song pops into your head, let it play in your head. Sing it in your heart to God. Let those words drive you. Has that ever happened to you, brethren? You go about your day-to-day life, and a song that we sing comes to mind. Those precious words that make us think about God, that make us remember how close we want to be to God. You know, I always say, before sermons, I'll always say, that song is one of my favorite songs. And it's always a completely different song. But if I were to give it one song, the praises being one of my favorites, it would be a song called The Mountain Song. It's not in any of our songbooks. It might be on our e-choice. But the song talks about wanting to draw closer to God, wanting to find a mountain. Think about those of old. They found their solace in climbing on the mountaintop just to spend time alone, away from the world, and be with God. We need that sometimes, brethren. And that came in an important time in my life where I could have been doing better. And it helped encourage me to get my life back on the right track. That's the power of song, brethren. Let those songs resonate within your heart. Let those songs turn into worship to God, not just here, but every day of your life. If you're here this evening and are not yet a Christian, we want to encourage you to act upon your belief. If you've heard the word tonight or in the past and have come to believe on the words seen in Scripture, we want to encourage you to act upon that belief, to repent of your sins, to change your ways from worldliness to godliness, to confess the name of Jesus as the Son of God and be baptized. Your sins will be washed away in the waters of baptism. You'll be raised to walk a new life before God. Or if you're here this evening, already are a Christian, but have led sin in your life, you can make your life right with God tonight as well. Repent of those things. Turn away from them completely. Confess them before God in prayer, and He is faithful and just to forgive you of your sins. If you need the prayers of this congregation, you can come this evening, and you will not be met with animosity. You will not be met with judgment. We will not gossip about you behind your back. We will meet you with love. We will lift you up. We will pray with you. We'll pray for you. So if you're subject to the invitation or need prayers of this congregation for help in any way, please come as we stand and we sing.